Well, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. I want to thank my brother Josh and also Tom for the privilege of being here. I'm a little nervous, but this is God's word, so that's exciting. And it's just wonderful to be here. So let's pray to start. Gracious Heavenly Father, just thank you for the gift of eternal life that you've given us. Thank you for your Son that you saw us dead and in the lust of our flesh and with no hope. And you rescued us. And Father, I thank you for this morning that we can just hang on to your words this morning and that we can be humble to your words and see how good you are to us. Thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, let's go to Ephesians. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2 again. I feel like we need to read a little bit further than we did last time. Would that be good? Let's go just a little further. So we're going to start chapter 2 of Ephesians. And once you get there, we'll start in verse 1 again. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," hallelujah, "but God, who's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," because we were, "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." So that's where we are now. We are new. We are no longer these children of disobedience. We were. We were all there. And in times past, we had no other choice. Just like everyone who has not believed on Jesus Christ, we had no choice but to walk in the flesh. So what does that mean for us today? Because we're born again now. So we're not stuck being the children of disobedience. But one thing that changed when I got born again is I got new life. That spirit that Adam had that died when he sinned, I have life again. I'm new in Christ. But my brain didn't get swapped out. It didn't. I still have the same brain that I was born with. And so my tendencies, you know, we looked at the sinful tendencies, habits, and standards of man without spirit. Those tendencies, standards, and habits and standards, let me give them the right order, those didn't change in the new birth. My tendencies, in and of myself, are not new. Even though I am completely a new creation, and that's settled. That's settled in heaven forever because of grace. But I still have to deal with the flesh because I still have this brain. I still have those tendencies. I still have those old habits. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning for the rest of the morning is how we deal with that. Because we want to walk for God. We don't want to do like what Tom was talking about last night where, you know, we have the choice to serve our adversary or serve our God, our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are our options. We don't want to serve the adversary. So we're going to look at how we deal with that. Let's go to Galatians. We're going to go to a few similar places, some of the exact same verses. But these are great places. So Galatians 5, probably just a page or two back. And we'll start in verse 16 again. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things you would." Roger spent a little bit of time on these verses here, that lust, that desire. Here's the thing, they're opposites. The flesh and the spirit are opposites. The things that the flesh desires, the spirit doesn't desire, and vice versa. And there isn't any overlap. So the best thing I can think of is like colors, okay? We have the color green, we have the color yellow. And they're two different colors, but you can kind of get a mix somewhere in the middle, like a greenish yellow. That's not what this is talking about. When it talks about them being contrary the one to the other, they're adversarial. Way, way far apart with no overlap. And they have nothing in common. They're actively opposed to each other. So what does that mean practically? And this is cool. What does it mean practically? If walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh are complete opposites and they have nothing in common, that means at any particular moment, I'm either walking 100% in the spirit or I'm walking 100% in the flesh. It's not possible for me to walk 70% in the spirit and 30% in the flesh. Or, you know, like I might think 90% in the flesh sometimes and 10% in the spirit. That's not possible to do because they're complete opposites. It's either one or the other. So let's say, I don't know cardinal directions from here, but let's say that's west and this is east. And so I'm going to travel west. As soon as I'm traveling west, I'm not traveling east. And as soon as I travel east, I'm not traveling west. Now what I can do is I can travel west, and then I can travel east, and then I can travel west and west some more, and I can do that, right? That's what we can do, and that's why sometimes it feels to us like we're doing a 70-30 split, or, you know, 90-10, whatever split you think you have in your head. It's not because there's any correlation between these two. It's because I'm walking in the spirit, and then I'm walking in the flesh, and then later I'm walking in the spirit again. And this can happen in the same day. If you're me, it can happen in the same hour, sometimes in the same conversation. So there we are. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans 7, the first part of verse 18, you can write this down if you want to. We looked at it earlier. But it says, Romans 7, 18, the first part, "For I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And in Romans 7, Paul is talking about a time before he was born again. But that first half of the verse is still true. In my flesh, there still dwells no good thing. So how do I deal with it? Because we're born again, right? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born again. You have Holy Spirit, you're a new creation. And yet we still walk in the flesh. Pretty frequently, I do. But I'll tell you what we can't do. We can't fix the flesh with the flesh. And it sounds a little bit silly to say that because it's kind of obvious if you know a little bit of God's word that this thing, this sinfulness, these sinful tendencies and habits and standards, how could that ever produce holiness? I can't fix the flesh with the flesh. My own willpower, my own strength, they can't accomplish the righteousness of God. They couldn't before Jesus Christ, and they can't after Jesus Christ either. But it's really great that God gives us the answer to how we do this. So this is, if someone asks you the question, how do you deal with the flesh? Here's the answer in verse 16. "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." But this is amazing. That's a promise. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I mean, I dare say we cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm walking in the Spirit and they are as different as traveling west and traveling east, I can't do both. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I won't. And so I don't have to figure out how to not walk in the flesh. We have our Father's answer for that. His answer for us is walk in the Spirit. So it's not the things that we try over and over. It's not suppressing the flesh or fighting the flesh. It's not me with my strength trying not to sin. Have you ever tried that? It's not me trying to avoid my old habit patterns of thinking per se. You know, it's not me with my strength fighting the flesh. It's also not minimizing the flesh. You know, we could stand here and be like, you know what? Everybody sins. Even after you're born again, we all sin sometimes. And we know that's true. But not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal. No, it's a really big deal. The flesh and sin and the lust of the flesh, it leads to death. It big deal. So we don't want to minimize it. And we also don't want to pretend that it doesn't exist. I mean, we are new creations in Christ, but if I pretend that the flesh isn't an obstacle to my faith today, then I'm pretending, because God knows us. And there's no power in pretending that it doesn't exist. Our Father doesn't pretend. He tells us the truth. So none of that's going to work. But walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, if I'm doing one, I'm by definition not doing the other. Consider that for a moment. That's really awesome. But we should have a pretty big question at this point. Can you guess what that is? How do I walk in the Spirit? Yes. If this is the answer, like, well, great. Wait a second. How do I walk in the Spirit? But the good thing is that our Father tells us that too. I don't have to stand up here and guess for you. I guarantee I'd get it wrong. Let's go to Romans 8. Once you get there, we're going to start in verse 2. All right. It says, Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And here's sort of a sister verse to what we just read in Galatians, "that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's what we were just looking at. But it keeps going. So the next verse tells us what this looks like, to choose walking in the flesh or choose walking in the Spirit. So we're at, what verse are we at here? 5, thank you. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So that word, to mind, it's translated other places as think or regard, and it's talking about our thoughts. First and foremost, walking in the Spirit is choosing to think God's thoughts instead of my thoughts. In Isaiah 55:8, we're very familiar with this verse. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And if the flesh is those old sinful tendencies, habits, and standards of man without Spirit, they're not God's thoughts and they're not God's ways. And where do those first show up? If I have tendencies, habits, and standards, first they show up in my mind and heart first. And then they're exhibited outwardly. And you'll see it outwardly, but it starts out with our thoughts. Those that are in the flesh have no choice. They're in the flesh, so of course they mind the things of the flesh. What else do you have? They don't have an option anymore, but we can mind the things of the Spirit. So let's keep reading. Verse 7, "because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." So that's a reality. Because of the new birth, because we believed on Jesus Christ, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if we're born again, we can choose to have our thoughts on the things of the Spirit. That's the part that we get to pick. It wasn't an option. When I was only flesh, what else did I have to think on? What else did I have to mind, to regard, to consider? Only things of the flesh. But we're in the Spirit now. And we can mind the things of the Spirit. We also have an entire book here that tells us some stuff in the Spirit. So, we got some thoughts here. I'm going to read verses 5 through 9 again, but in the ESV, because I think it's so clear. It just helps to clarify what this section is talking about. So I'm going to start in verse 5, but in the ESV. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So you see where that is? Where our thoughts are is what this is talking about. We're no longer those children of disobedience in Ephesians 2. They don't have a choice. They cannot submit to God's law. But by God's grace and mercy, that's not us anymore. So we walk in the Spirit. We do that by minding the things of the Spirit. Go ahead a couple books forward to Romans 12. Let's hit this one. I mean, we could all quote this to each other, but we're going to read it anyway. Maybe not. If you haven't heard this one before, it's great. If you've heard it before, it's still great. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here not only does it talk about what we're doing with our minds, but there's a promise attached, a transformation. This process, if you will, of putting God's thoughts in my brain, it's called putting on. It's called here, I know this verse by heart and I'm not thinking of it. It's called renewing your mind. It's called minding the things of the Spirit. It has a few different names. We're going to go one other place that talks about this process, and that's in Romans 6, so a couple chapters back. Very familiar section. And we're going to start, so Romans 6, we're going to start in verse 8. It says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this particular section, it's talking very specifically about reckoning something. Again, that same thing, renewing your mind, reckoning, minding the things of the Spirit. It's all basically it's the same thing, essentially. And here it's talking about something very specific, reckoning that we died quite literally with Christ, that we were raised to new life quite literally with Christ. And that's specific words of God that this section is talking about reckoning. And I know we've heard this word a lot, so if you're sitting there like, here, we're going to hear about reckoning again. We want to walk in the Spirit, right? We don't want to walk in the flesh. I don't want to walk in the flesh. This is how we do it. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, then we need to mind the things of the Spirit. So even if we've heard this a million times, please pay attention, because this is life-altering for me and you and every single person who's believed on Jesus Christ. That word reckon, it does mean what we've heard before. It's mathematical. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. And there's no disputing that. There's just the facts. There's no emotion attached to that either. I don't have any emotional attachment to this fact. It's just a fact. And that's what to reckon is to take information and just, all right, 2 + 2 = 4. But there is a difference practically between reckoning 2 + 2 = 4 and reckoning God's word to be true. And the difference is that when I first learned 2 + 2 = 4, I was probably about 4 years old. Most of us were pretty young when we learned that. And you only had to reckon it a couple times. How recently have you had to think about 2 + 2 = 4? You haven't. My 6-year-old knows that. We only had to reckon it that a couple times, and then we knew it. And the thing is, nobody ever contradicts it. Like, I never feel like 2 + 2 = 5. That doesn't happen. My coworkers, I don't have coworkers, but you know, people's coworkers, nobody tells them that 2 + 2 = 5. All the thoughts that come into our minds day in and day out do not tell us that 2 + 2 = 5. There's no challenge to it. It's universally accepted. There's no challenge to it ever. That's just how the way it is. But how about God's word? Do my feelings ever contradict God's word? Yes. Do my thoughts ever contradict God's word? Uh-huh. How about the news? How about your neighbors?
How about your family sometimes? It could come from anywhere, right? I have to reckon it persistently and consistently because there's information coming in, however it comes in, and right now we're talking about the flesh. So from my own thoughts, from my own habits, from my own standards, I'm getting information that's contrary to God's word. So I have to keep reckoning. That's the difference. It's the same process, and it's not hard. It's no more difficult than 2 + 2 = 4. But because my habits and my standards and my tendencies and everything in the world is contradicting, I have to do this repeatedly, and I'm not going to stop. 10 years from now, if our Lord hasn't returned, and we're back at this camp in 10 years, we're still going to have to be doing this. Sorry, let me catch up with my notes here for just a moment. So Romans 6, it's a great example. One of the things that I love about this is that here it's talking about something specific. This is something specifically that we can reckon. And that's what we do. This reckoning is not just having a pleasant day and thinking about God every once in a while. It's very specific words of God that I'm remembering, that I'm choosing to remember. And it's a moment-by-moment thing. So here's some examples. I have 2 kids, and as siblings do, they don't always get along perfectly. And my 2-year-old is a screamer, so she'll scream at her brother pretty regularly. And my flesh wants to get angry at that because they're hurting my ears. And why aren't they thankful? My goodness gracious, look at what they have. I want to get angry. That's my natural reaction. But what do I do when I get angry at that? If I'm walking in the Spirit, what I do is I'm like, okay, well, I was unlovable. And I deserved God's wrath. But he gave me grace instead. He gave me grace and Jesus Christ. And so I can, first of all, remember that. And then I still have my kids to deal with. And the 6-year-old's born again, and the 2-year-old, I'm not sure. But either way, Jesus Christ died for both of them. So then I can remember that about them. Now at this point, I can actually go and I can take care of whatever the situation is. I can do it with love. And I can do it according to God's way of doing things. I can walk in the Spirit. What about if you're at work and you mess up royally and, you know, people come down on you for that? You may have even made a really big mistake. It might not even just be a misunderstanding. Maybe you really did screw up. What I could do is I could be anxious about what my coworkers are going to think of me. I could be anxious that I might lose my job or what my boss, maybe he's not going to give me as much responsibility. I could think about a lot of different things and be anxious about it. Or I could remember that the only one whose work actually mattered is the one who died for me, and that I'm righteous. And even if I did mess up completely, his work takes care of me. And then at that point, if I need to fix something at work, well, then I can fix something with work. But now I'm walking in the Spirit, and I'm not thinking all those thoughts that were going around in my head. How about if the flesh says I can't hear God's voice? Or you come to me for healing, and the flesh says, I've never done that before. I can't do that. There's surely somebody here who's more qualified than me, right? I have Christ in me as much as any other person in this room. You have Christ in you as much as any other person in this room. And those abilities were given to you at the moment you believed on Jesus Christ. You can remember that. And then regardless of what happens next, you're walking in the Spirit because you're remembering that. How about our marriages? This is a big one for me sometimes. It's very easy when you spend a lot of time with someone to have your thoughts be less than charitable about that person. And, you know, me too. Not about your spouse, about mine. But, what can I remember about my spouse? You know, regardless of, my spouse isn't perfect and yours isn't either if you have one. But I can remember that this person has a place in the body of Christ, that they're holy, that who they are is not dependent upon their perfection or their actions or whether I'm annoyed with them at that particular moment. I can start there and remember that about them. And I can walk in the Spirit of my marriage. There's, I mean, you could give all sorts of examples. I bet you every single person here could come up with his examples of this. But That's what this is. And the thing is, there doesn't always have to be a huge catalyst. So some of the things I mentioned had something that happened first, like the kids were fighting or you made a mistake at work. There isn't always a catalyst for thoughts. We have thoughts all the time. And every time we have a thought, we can choose this. The cool thing about this is it's not dependent upon how smart you are to be able to do this. Your IQ doesn't make a difference. It's not dependent upon how old you are. If you're 20 years old, 80 years old, I mean, you have to have the spirit, but it's not age dependent. It's not dependent upon how long you've been born again. I don't know all of you. Some of you may have gotten born again last week. I don't know. Maybe you did. And others of you I know have been running fellowships for longer than I've been alive. And yet, this is something that each one of us can do, and it doesn't make any difference. But, you know, the trappings of this life don't make any difference to this. And it's something we need to do. I think about this a lot, because this is something that we need to do. If we're going to live this Christian life until our Lord returns, we have to do this. We can't leave it to someone else to do this. We have to do it ourselves, each one of us. And we're perfectly capable of it. God gave us his word. He gave us his word so that we could know it. You know, so what happens if my kids start screaming at each other and I don't walk in the spirit? I don't remember that at all. Well, for as long as I don't remember it, I'll be walking in my flesh. It's going to be ugly. But it doesn't change who I am in Christ. It doesn't change anything God's done. So if you're out there sitting, wow, I've never done that. If that's what you're thinking right now, like, I don't think I've ever done that. Or I haven't done that in 20 years. I'll tell you something. You're still holy. You are still loved of God. You are still righteous, redeemed. You are still glorified in Christ. You still have eternal life. It didn't change anything. We wasted some time when we could have been walking with our Father. So that's sad. But we can choose right now and 2 minutes from now. It didn't change anything eternal. It didn't change anything important, really important. All of that stuff was taken care of on the cross by our Lord. That was done. So however long it's been since you purposely replaced your thoughts and emotions and ways with God's thoughts and ways, we can start now. So that's what it looks like. You know, when the thought comes in and I recognize that's not God's word, get rid of the thing. And then we have to know God's word and grab God's word and then remember. And then 2 minutes later when that next thought comes in, or if you're me, it's the same one. Not a new one every 2 minutes. It's usually the same one. Comes in and no, that's not God's word. And then we take it and we hold on to God's word. And then 2 minutes later, when we think that again, you know, and here's the thing. If we're persistent to do this, we will get more consistent with it. You're going to start to recognize those death thoughts a lot earlier. So the things, because for every one of us, it might be something different, but you know what it is for you. And so if we can recognize, we'll just start to get faster at it. You know, maybe I had this thought and it takes me 2 weeks before I remember God's word. And the next time it still takes me 2 weeks. And you know, but next time it only takes me a day. And I start to recognize like, oh, I've seen you before. I know your path. We're not doing that today. I know what God says. And then we stop it. And then we're walking in the spirit. Let's see here. So the thing is, we do have to know God's word to do that, though, right? And so that's important. That's one of the reasons that we need to spend time reading his word, considering his word, talking to our Father, because it's not like he doesn't want us to know this stuff. He's going to help you to understand it. And if there's something in your flesh that you don't know what words of God apply to it, then find out. We do have the Bible. We can read that. We also have an entire body of Christ, and we have a subset of it right here. Ask your fellowship leader. Ask somebody who you trust that will give you the doctrine of God's word and not their opinion. Ask somebody who can tell you what words of God apply to that particular thought that you always give up to. You don't have to be so ashamed by the ugliness of your flesh that you don't get words to believe. Because I guarantee you, everybody's flesh is just as ugly. We all needed Christ. So, you know, if I come to you and there's something that I'm dealing with, and I'm like, you know what? I know this isn't God's word. I'm miserable when I'm thinking this, but I just don't know. What do I need to believe from God's word? I don't know. And you can help me? Was there any shame in that? None at all. None at all. We need to get those words to believe. We were all washed clean by Christ, and we were all just as ugly before Christ. And, you know, if this minding of the things of the Spirit seems burdensome, or sometimes I keep to-do lists, I kind of have to for some reasons, for some things, but, you know, if it becomes another thing on my to-do list, that can happen. But if I can at least remember that God is good and that his words are good for me, then it's going to help me to make that choice. Even if my flesh is like, I don't want to do that. You got enough to do already. Or maybe you're apathetic. That happens sometimes. We're apathetic to the things of God. Whatever it is, I can remember that God's good. Let's flip back to Psalm. We're going to go to Psalm 34. I just want to look at one verse here because our Father is so good. Just to remember this, Psalm 34, in verse 8. And this is wonderful. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. When it seems like just another thing to do, or I'm apathetic, or whatever it is that causing me to not actually take this step of believing and try him out, I can remember how good my God is. And I can remember that he doesn't give me stuff just on a whim. And he also doesn't give me stuff and then just, well, good luck with that one. See if you can, you know. No, he is good. He helps us. He wants this for us more than we want it for ourselves. And we can taste and see. We can just try him. And he promises transformation. Before we close, I want to go back to Galatians 5. So go ahead and go on back there. This is who we are now. We're not children of disobedience. We don't have to walk in their ways. We don't have to think their thoughts. We can, but the fruit's still going to be death. Galatians 5, I want to go back and read a little bit of the context of this because it's really amazing. If you read chapter 4, which we're not going to do this morning, there's an allegory there. It's a beautiful comparison, comparing us to the children of a free woman as opposed to the children of a slave woman. But we're going to start in Galatians 5, chapter 1. And the context of this whole thing that we were reading earlier is freedom. We're not going to read every verse here, but we're going to kind of pick and choose a little bit. But that is the context here. Galatians 5 and verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom, wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Skip down to verse 13. "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things you would." We have liberty. We have freedom in Christ. And now God's going to give us a snapshot of what these two look like, the flesh and the spirit. But when we're reading this, remember that the context is freedom. And it isn't the call to feel badly about ourselves. We're going to recognize the flesh. We're going to recognize, I mean, we haven't all done all of these, but you can recognize the flesh and you can be like, oh man, you know, hide. This is terrible. But that's not us anymore. We've been freed from that. This is a call to remember that we're free in Christ. And we're not bound by the things that we used to be bound by. So, Let's start in verse 18. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But that's not us. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I want to stop here for a moment. Again, we're talking about freedom. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It's a little bit of an odd statement, but they that are Christ, that's us. Okay, we're Christ. And it says that we crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. Whether we understood it fully or not, when we believed on Jesus Christ, we crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We chose Christ's work over our works. That's what we did. Whether we understood it fully or not, that's what we did. We looked at our flesh with its ugly, unrighteous affections and lusts, and no, let's put that aside. I want that. And so that's what this is. Now, we didn't literally crucify anything, maybe, but there's a lot of power in saying it this way. Crucified is a really strong word. And the context is freedom. We're not bound by the flesh anymore. We were in bondage. We were a slave in bondage to the flesh. We had no choice. But that's not me anymore, and it's not you anymore. We're new creations in Christ now. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. And that old life of having no choice but the flesh is crucified. We're free from that. We're free to choose what the next verse says. Let's read this last verse here. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. It was wonderful. On your schedules for this afternoon, you'll notice there is a time for fellowships, and you'll have a fellowship location there. And the purpose for these fellowships is really to make sure nobody's getting missed and to make sure that people are getting what they're hearing this week. I don't think it's a time where we got to answer a whole lot of questions about things to come. There's a lot of teaching yet to come. We just want to make sure everybody's getting what they need. And I was thinking about this morning. I've got some kids in my fellowship. I asked Jordan last night, what did you do in fellowship? He says, we learned a verse. Okay, you learned a verse. And I asked Virginia what they did. Well, we did a craft. So I'm looking forward to being in this fellowship to find out what they're really learning, because they're really blessed and really peaceful. So I know something is happening over there. So it's an opportunity for us to get together in smaller groups and just make sure we're getting taken care of. So you fellowship leaders, that's your assignment. Just make sure that nobody's getting missed and they're hearing the things that they need to hear. And we don't usually do this at family camp. In fact, I don't think, if we have, it's been years and years ago. Sometimes we do them at men's and women's weekends, but not at family camp. So we wouldn't take time out during free time and pool time to do this if we didn't think it was very important. So, and in light of the things we're teaching and going through this week, this is really important stuff. So we want to make sure we're getting it, that we're all taking care of each other, and that we go home with everything we can possibly go home with. So, make sense? And then we can go swimming, if it's not storming. So lunch is at noon. Don't forget your kids. Love you. Bye.